Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Ethan Zuckerman is back with us. Ethan is from the website Global Voices and Harvard's Berkman Center on Internet and Society. He's joining us once a week this month. Last week, Ethan gave out a homework assignment to check out a website called Meadin.net that translates between Arabic and English as a means to intercultural dialogue. Let's talk about that and other online Global Voices. Ethan Zuckerman, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Great to be with you, Brian. How are you?
Good. And we invite people to go to, now, how do you get to it? Is it, it's beta.meadin, M-E-E-D-A-N.net?
That's correct. And the beta refers to the fact that this is a pretty new project and a pretty new platform. Meadin is a group of people. They're based in California, but it's people really all over the world, really all over the Arabic-speaking world. And this project is sort of based around the idea that it's pretty hard to have a conversation between people who speak English and people who speak Arabic. And that's hard in the literal sense of two people talking to one another. It's also hard in the sense of sort of a larger media dialogue. We know that media coverage in different countries focuses on different things, on different issues. What Meadin tries to do is use a combination of machine translation and human translation to open up that conversation. So if we look at that site today, I'm looking at it right now in front of me, one of the stories that they've been following for a while is this really ugly case in Germany where Marwa El-Sharbini, an Egyptian woman, was testifying against a German man in a racial abuse case. He attacked her, stabbed her to death. And people around the world have been watching this to sort of figure out how is the German justice system going to deal with this racially motivated attack. And there's a thread right now of 18 sort of posts on this. And what's interesting about them is they're a mix between mainstream media in Europe, in the U.S., throughout the Muslim world. It's comments from individuals, some of which have been posted in English, some of which have been posted in Arabic. And if you scroll through it, the whole thing to you and me reads as English. It's geolocating. It knows that we're in the United States, and it's giving us an English version of it. If we were reading this in Egypt, the entire thing would appear in Arabic. Not always terrific Arabic. Some of those comments have been translated from English into Arabic by machines, and they're not always great. But what's really nice about this is it's an attempt to create a neutral meeting spot for a conversation, taking the barrier of language out of the equation and allowing people to meet in the common ground.
And so, listeners, we can take calls from a few different types of view. If anybody actually did go to Meadin, and if you're having trouble finding it, because it is an unusual kind of web address, we have a link right on our page, so you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you can click through or try it yourself, beta, B-E-T-A, dot Meadin, that's M-E-E-D-A-N, dot net, and you'll see that German-Egyptian situation right at the top. Or you can call us if you want to continue the conversation that we started last week about anyone who reads blogs or websites in other languages and what you learn from them that people who only read English might not see. So anyone who goes to any foreign language website, use it as an opportunity for cross-cultural translation, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anyone who has gone to Meadin.net, beta.meadin.net, and done what Ethan was asking from last week and kind of checked that one out in particular, 212-433-9692. I'm curious, Ethan, has that site been seeing a discussion of the Fort Hood shootings?
Definitely. It's certainly been one of the conversations going on and questions about how it's being reported in U.S. media has definitely been an open question. In fact, we have a story about that on Global Voices today where people are very interested in this question of has the reporting in the U.S. focused too heavily on the idea that the shooter was an observant Muslim. Actually, on Global Voices, we have a story today reading Fort Hood Massacre put spotlight on Muslims in the Army. I think this is a little bit of what I was talking about, I think a little bit last week, but I talk about in general, which is the notion that media these days has a global audience. When we put something on local television for a local audience, it's being watched all over the world. And one of the best ways to understand how people are thinking and feeling in other countries is to look at their media. So MeDon is trying to do that by giving you a chance to peek in and see how issues like this are being covered in other newspapers. This works in other media as well. Link TV, which may be on your cable system or your satellite provider, has a television program called Mosaic, which does world news from the Middle East. They do a newscast every day, which is brief little snippets from Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, NBC, also from Israeli television, and takes stories from each of them, translates them into English, and gives you sort of a window into what's going on there. What I think is so exciting about doing this in a web setting is that that window has the potential immediately to turn into a conversation. So if you are inspired or provoked by one of these stories that you're reading in Arab media, you want to push back against it, or you want to embrace it, MeDon gives you that chance to then log in and put up a comment, which will then show up translated into Arabic by machine translation and then might later be translated by hand by a human translator.
Fascinating. Ali in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ali.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
What'd you call it to say?
I'm Iranian-American, and I go to a website called jq.net. It's a Persian website, and it has commentary about events in Iran, and it's all in Persian. And it also has commentary about events going on in the States, and I find it really interesting because you get perspectives of Iranian-Americans and, you know, Iranians in Iran, and it's a really good conversation. And I had a question for the I don't know if he's a professor.
Yes,
or,
he is a
I have more of a theoretical question. I was wondering, do you think that the internet has the promise of answering a lot of the critics of modernity who think, especially the critics like Habermas, that think modernity is an unfinished project? What do you think about the internet's role in that debate? I know that might be outside of the purview of this discussion, but I think you might be equipped to answer that.
All right, Ethan, I don't mind if you talk about Habermas.
Hey, Ali, I was going to say it's a little early in the morning for me for Habermas, but I appreciate you bringing out some of these questions. First of all, JQ is an amazing resource. It's become a very important space for young Iranians. It's become increasingly a really interesting source for views in Persian from Iran. It's not necessarily exclusively a Persian site, but it's interesting. It's been really embraced by a lot of people in Iran, and they're using it in Persian. We've been trying to open up some of those conversations on Global Voices. As we start bringing in thinkers like Habermas, there's a lot of conversation about how we create a global public space. How do we create a sphere of dialogue? And how does that sphere extend beyond just an individual community? I think what's so interesting is that there's this tendency to assume that the internet is going to open up a global public sphere. We're all going to get together online. We're going to have conversations about big issues. And we're going to find ways to sort of solve the world's problems by having that shared space. What's interesting about this is that people have been predicting this every time a technology comes along that allows us to make bridges between cultures. When Marconi introduced the radio to the world, very shortly after that, he said, radio is going to make war impossible because it's going to make it completely illogical. We're going to be able to listen to people in other countries, and we will know at that point that we're never going to want to attack them. He said that in 1912. He wasn't particularly prophetic on that.
Right, and then the greatest practitioner of radio up until 1940 was Adolf Hitler.
And we've also seen radio be used to inspire genocide within Rwanda. So,
right.
It's interesting. You create these new spaces. You create this new opportunity for public interaction, for a digital public space. But it's really, really hard to use them Well, we started this conversation today talking about language. Language turns out to be an incredible barrier to overcome and requires real effort to it. Invoking Adolf Hitler, you're talking about another problem, which is that people figure out how to dominate these media. My friend Evgeny Morozov is fond of pointing out that dictators like the Internet, too. We love looking at things like Jeku, like Twitter, seeing people who are struggling against tyranny using these new digital public spaces to try to organize. Mm-hmm. But the smart dictators are getting into these spaces as well and trying to figure out how they can use these tools to control and influence opinion.
And just like we were talking about Twitter yesterday with respect to unreliable information coming out of Fort Hood at the beginning of the incident, we don't really know who the people are behind any particular site in many cases and don't know how much to trust the translations or their interpretations. Barbara in Riverdale wants to point up a different kind of site that translates from Arabic to English. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Yes, there's a site on the Internet, and it's from the organization is Memri, M-E-M-R-I. I'm sorry, I don't know at this point what the acronym stands for. And they do excellent translations out of the press in the Middle East and other places that are written in Arabic, and also they translate speeches, and I believe that their service is used in Washington by government agencies, etc. I don't want to speak for them because I just happen to look at these sites.
Right, and Memri, which we know and have had guests on from, is the Middle East Media Research Institute, run, I think, mostly by Israeli generals, translating from Arabic. And Ethan, I think it's fair to say with more of an agenda of expose, of letting the rest of the world know, or the English-speaking world know, what Arabic-speaking politicians are saying to their own, as opposed to what they may be saying to, you know, the English language media. Though, you know, it doesn't mean everything that's translated is negative, but it's a different mission, but it's also creating more communication and translation.
I think it shows us how political translation can be. Again, this question of hidden audiences. Memri often makes the point that, or tries to make the point that Arab politicians speak very differently to their own audiences than they do for international audiences. And so one of Memri's projects is to figure out how to translate Arab politicians talking to local audiences, bring that language out so that it's accessible in English and Hebrew and other languages.
Right. We just have 30 seconds. Do you want to give people another homework assignment for next week? Maybe something having to do with China or...
Yeah,
or...
absolutely. Have people Google the and run this all together as one word, east, south, west, north. Google that phrase. You're going to end up at a site called ZonaEuropa.com. This is the most important resource for bridging between China and English right now, run by Roland Sung in Hong Kong and in New York. I would love if we can talk a little bit next week about English-China conversations, what we're learning in those conversations.
That would be a great way to continue this series. So Google East, South, West, North, and you should come up with that site. Ethan Zuckerman from the website globalvoicesonline.org and Harvard's Berkman Center on Internet and Society. Thank you so much for coming on today.
It's always a pleasure. Good to be with you.
And next Thursday again at this time for Ethan Zuckerman, East, South, West, North.